Chapter 154. Mr. Solomon Pell, assisted by a select committee of coachmen, arranges the affairs of the elder Mr. Weller, Samuel, said Mr. Weller, accosting his son on the morning after the funeral. I found it, Sammy. I thought it was there. Thought what was there? Inquired Sam. Your mother-in-law's will, Sammy, replied Mr. Weller. In virtue of which, the arrangements is to be made as I told you on last night, respecting the funds. What, didn't she tell you where it was? Inquired Sam. Not a bit on it, Sammy, replied Mr. Weller. We was a-adjusting our little differences, and I was a-cheering her spirits and bearing her up, so that I forgot to ask anything about it. I don't know as I should ha' done it, indeed, if I had remembered it, added Mr. Weller, for it's a rum sort o' thing, Sammy, to go a-hankering arter anybody's property, when you're assisting them in illness. It's like helping an outside passenger up, when he's been pitched off a coach, and putting your hand in his pocket, while you ask him, with a sigh, how he finds hisself, Sammy. With this figurative illustration of his meaning, Mr. Weller unclasped his pocketbook, and drew forth a dirty sheet of letter paper, on which were inscribed various characters crowded together in remarkable confusion. This here is the document, Sammy, said Mr. Weller. I found it in the little black teapot, on the top shelf o' the bar closet. She used to keep banknotes there, for she was married, Samuel. I've seen her take the lid off, to pay a bill, many and many a time. Poor creature, she might ha' filled all the teapots in the house with bills, and not have inconvenienced herself neither, for she took worry little of anything in that way lately, except on the temperance nights, when they just laid a foundation O.T., to put the spirits atop on. What does it say? Inquired Sam. Just what I told you, my boy, rejoined his parent. £200 worth o' reduced counsels to my son-in-law, Samuel, and all the rest o' my property, of every kind and description whatsoever, to my husband, Mr. Tony Weller, who I happened as my sole executor. That's all, is it? Said Sam. That's all, replied Mr. Weller. And I suppose as it's all right, unsatisfactory to you and me as is the only parties interested, we may as well put this bit o' paper into the fire. What are you a-doin' on, you lunatic? Said Sam, snatching the paper away, as his parent, in all innocence, stirred the fire preparatory to suiting the action to the word. You're a nice executor, you are. Why not? Inquired Mr. Weller, looking sternly round, with the poker in his hand. Why not? Exclaimed Sam. 'Cause it must be proved, and probated, and swore to, and all manner o' formalities. You don't mean that? Said Mr. Weller, laying down the poker. Sam buttoned the will carefully in a side pocket, intimating by a look, meanwhile, that he did mean it, and very seriously too. Then I'll tell you what it is, said Mr. Weller, after a short meditation, this is a case for that ere confidential pal o' the chancellorships. Pell must look into this, Sammy. He's the man for a difficult question at law. We'll have this here brought afore the solvent court, directly, Samuel. I never did see such a addle-headed old creature. Exclaimed Sam irritably. Old Baileys, and solvent courts, and the libus, and every species o' gammon alves a running through his brain. You'd better get your out-o'-door clothes on, and come to town about this business, than stand a preaching there about what you don't understand nothing on. Worry good, Sammy, replied Mr. Weller, I'm quite agreeable to anything as will expedite business, Sammy. But mind this here, my boy, nobody but Pell as a legal advisor. Apostrophe, I don't want anybody else, apostrophe replied Sam. Now, are you a coming? Apostrophe, wait a minute, Sammy, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller, who, having tied his shawl with the aid of a small glass that hung in the window, was now, by dint of the most wonderful exertions, struggling into his upper garments. Wait a minute, Sammy. When you grow as old as your father, you won't get into your waistcoat quite as easy as you do now, my boy. Apostrophe, if I couldn't get into it easier than that, I'm blessed if I'd be one at all, apostrophe rejoined his son. You think so now, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, with the gravity of age, but you'll find that as you get wider, you'll get wiser. Wit and wisdom, Sammy, always grows together. Apostrophe, as Mr. Weller delivered this infallible maxim the result of many years' personal experience and observation, he contrived, by a dexterous twist of his body, to get the bottom button of his coat to perform its office. Having paused a few seconds to recover breath, he brushed his hat with his elbow, and declared himself ready. As four heads is better than two, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, as they drove along the London Road in the chaise cart, and as all this here property is a worry great temptation to a legal gentleman, we'll take a couple o' friends o' mine with us, as'll be worry soon down upon him, if he comes anything irregular, two o' them as saw you to the Fleet that day. They're the worry best judges, apostrophe added Mr. Weller, in a half whisper the worry best judges of a horse, you ever knowed. Apostrophe, and of a lawyer too? Apostrophe inquired Sam. The man as can form a accurate judgment of a animal, can form a accurate judgment of anything, apostrophe replied his father, so dogmatically, that Sam did not attempt to controvert the position. In pursuance of this notable resolution, the services of the mottled-faced gentleman, and of two other very fat coachmen selected by Mr. Weller, probably, with a view to their wit and consequent wisdom were put into requisition, and this assistance having been secured, the party proceeded to the public house in Portugal Street, whence a messenger was dispatched to the insolvent court over the way, requiring Mr. Solomon Pell's immediate attendance. The messenger fortunately found Mr. Solomon Pell in court, regaling himself, business being rather slack, with a cold collation of an Abernethy biscuit and a saveloy. The message was no sooner whispered in his ear than he thrust them in his pocket among various professional documents, and hurried over the way with such alacrity that he reached the parlor before the messenger had even emancipated himself from the court. Gentlemen, apostrophe said Mr. Pell, touching his hat, my service to you all. I don't say it to flatter you, gentlemen, but there are not five other men in the world that I'd have come out of that court for. Today. Apostrophe, so busy, eh? Apostrophe said Sam. Busy. Apostrophe replied Pell. I'm completely sewn up, as my friend the late Lord Chancellor many a time used to say to me, gentlemen, when he came out from hearing appeals in the House of Lords. Poor fellow, he was very susceptible to fatigue. He used to feel those appeals uncommonly. I actually thought more than once that he'd have sunk under 'em. I did, indeed. Apostrophe, here Mr. Pell shook his head and paused, on which, the elder Mr. Weller, nudging his neighbor, as begging him to mark the attorney's high connections, asked whether the duties in question produced any permanent ill effects on the constitution of his noble friend. I don't think he ever quite recovered them, apostrophe replied Pell. In fact, I'm sure he never did. Pell, he used to say to me many a time, how the blazes you can stand the head work you do, is a mystery to me. Well, I used to answer, I hardly know how I do it, upon my life. Pell, he'd add, sighing, and looking at me with a little envy, friendly envy, you know, gentlemen, mere friendly envy. I never minded it, Pell, you're a wonder, a wonder. Ah. You'd have liked him very much, if you had known him, gentlemen. Bring me 3 pennorth of rum, my dear. apostrophe, addressing this latter remark to the waitress, in a tone of subdued grief, Mr. Pell sighed, looked at his shoes and the ceiling, and, the rum having by that time arrived, drank it up. However, apostrophe, said Pell, drawing a chair to the table, a professional man has no right to think of his private friendships when his legal assistance is wanted. By the by, gentlemen, since I saw you here before, we have had to weep over a very melancholy occurrence. Apostrophe, Mr. Pell drew out a pocket handkerchief when he came to the word weep, but he made no further use of it than to wipe away a slight tinge of rum which hung upon his upper lip. I saw it in the advertiser, Mr. Weller, apostrophe, continued Pell. Bless my soul, not more than 52. Dear me, only think. Apostrophe, these indications of a musing spirit were addressed to the mottled-faced man, whose eyes Mr. Pell had accidentally caught, on which, the mottled-faced man, whose apprehension of matters in general was of a foggy nature, moved uneasily in his seat, and opined that, indeed, so far as that went, there was no saying how things was brought about, which observation, involving one of those subtle propositions which it is difficult to encounter in argument, was controverted by nobody. I have heard it remarked that she was a very fine woman, Mr. Weller, apostrophe, said Pell, in a sympathizing manner. Yes, sir, she was, apostrophe, replied the elder Mr. Weller, not much relishing this mode of discussing the subject, and yet thinking that the attorney, from his long intimacy with the late Lord Chancellor, must know best on all matters of polite breeding. She was a very fine woman, sir, when I first knowed her. She was a widder, sir, at that time. Apostrophe, now, it's curious, apostrophe, said Pell, looking round with a sorrowful smile, apostrophe, Mrs. Pell was a widow. Apostrophe, that's very extraordinary, apostrophe, said the mottled-faced man. Well, it is a curious coincidence, apostrophe, said Pell. Not at all, apostrophe, gruffly remarked the elder Mr. Weller. More widders is married than single women. Apostrophe, very good, apostrophe, said Pell, you're quite right, Mr. Weller. Mrs. Pell was a very elegant and accomplished woman. Her manners were the theme of universal admiration in our neighborhood. I was proud to see that woman dance. There was something so firm and dignified, and yet natural, in her motion. Her cutting, gentlemen, was simplicity itself. Ah, well, well, excuse my asking the question, Mr. Samuel, apostrophe, continued the attorney in a lower voice, was your mother-in-law tall? Apostrophe, not worry, apostrophe, replied Sam. Apostrophe, Mrs. Pell was a tall figure, apostrophe, said Pell, a splendid woman, with a noble shape, and a nose, gentlemen, formed to command and be majestic. She was very much attached to me, very much highly connected to. Her mother's brother, gentlemen, failed for £800, as a law stationer. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, who had grown rather restless during this discussion, with regard to business. Apostrophe, the word was music to Pell's ears. He had been revolving in his mind whether any business was to be transacted, or whether he had been merely invited to partake of a glass of brandy and water, or a bowl of punch, or any similar professional compliment, and now the doubt was set at rest without his appearing at all eager for its solution. His eyes glistened as he laid his hat on the table, and said, "What is the business upon which either of these gentlemen wish to go through the court? We require an arrest. A friendly arrest will do, you know. We are all friends here, I suppose? Apostrophe, give me the document, Sammy, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, taking the will from his son, who appeared to enjoy the interview amazingly. What we require, sir, is a probatis here. Apostrophe, probate, my dear sir, probate, apostrophe, said Pell. Well, sir, apostrophe, replied Mr. Weller sharply, probe and probate is very much the same. If you don't understand what I mean, sir, I dare say I can find them as does. apostrophe, no offense, I hope, Mr. Weller, apostrophe said Pell meekly. You are the executor, I see, apostrophe he added, casting his eyes over the paper. I am, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. These other gentlemen, I presume, are legatees, are they? Apostrophe inquired Pell, with a congratulatory smile. Sammy is a legatees, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. These other gentlemen is friends o' mine, just come to see fair, a kind of umpires. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe said Pell, very good. I have no objections, I'm sure. I shall want a matter of £5 of you before I begin, ha, ha, ha. Apostrophe, it being decided by the committee, that the £5 might be advanced, Mr. Weller produced that sum, after which, a long consultation about nothing particular took place, in the course whereof Mr. Pell demonstrated to the perfect satisfaction of the gentleman who saw fair, that unless the management of the business had been interested to him, it must all have gone wrong, for reasons not clearly made out, but no doubt sufficient. This important point being dispatched, Mr. Pell refreshed himself with 3 chops, and liquids both malt and spirituous, at the expense of the estate, and then they all went away to Doctors' Commons. The next day there was another visit to Doctors' Commons, and a great to-do with an attesting hostler, who, being inebriated, declined swearing anything but profane oaths, to the great scandal of a proctor and surrogate. Next week, there were more visits to Doctors' Commons, and there was a visit to the Legacy Duty Office besides, and there were treaties entered into, for the disposal of the lease and business, and ratifications of the same, and inventories to be made out, and lunches to be taken, and dinners to be eaten, and so many profitable things to be done, and such a mass of papers accumulated that Mr. Solomon Pell, and the boy, and the blue bag to boot, all got so stout, that scarcely anybody would have known them for the same man, boy, and bag, that had loitered about Portugal Street, a few days before. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.